I have a message tonight that I have tried to use twice since the 14th day of June. On the 12th day of June, I was able to visit Boston again. I've been up there, and one of the ladies told me that she wanted to know if I was going to go to supper. And I said, no, I think I'll eat supper. Anyway, I got up there, and I ran into some material that caught my attention. And I hope tonight that I can share it with you. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14. And I'll only read the one verse. The Bible said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Our message tonight is this. Who hung the lanterns? Who hung the lanterns? It was said by Mr. Pat Buchanan that in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their heroes defiled, their culture polluted, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as extremists and bigots for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. And I want to share with you in this message tonight, I happened to be in the Old North Church when I got the idea that this is a message that I ought to try to use. Let me give you the historical backgrounds, and then we'll try to make some spiritual applications. Again, our subject matter tonight is, who hung the lanterns? We know that the North Church, built in 1723, was the highest spot in Boston. It was the oldest standing church. You remember, many of you do, the famous poetry of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow that said, listen, my children, and ye shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Well, actually, this poem was written 80 years after these events. The setting is this. General Thomas Gage has 4,500 troops under him, and the Old North Church was a place where you had to buy a pew. It was for the folks that had the money, maybe the gentry of the town or the people of influence. And anyway, there was a pew, number 50 and number 18, that was owned by a man by the name of Robert Newman. There was another man by the name of Captain John Pulling, Jr. And I want you to get the setting for just a moment. The colonials are feeling that we must somehow get our independence. And so they could not get outside the city. And somebody devised or concocted the plan. How shall we notify our brethren to the north? How shall we tell those that are in Lexington or Concord that there is impending danger? Now, here's where the story begins to get interesting. We know that two people walked up 8 stairs that night, got in behind the organ, and lit 2 lanterns with a ball and flint. We know they did it in the darkness of night. And here is where I was gripped with the thought of the day. We think it was Mr. Newman that had a key because the next day he was arrested. But he said, no, I gave the key to Mr. Pulling. Mr. Pulling had already left town, and so they couldn't get him. But the story is that because 2 men hung some lanterns, some people that were heavily dependent upon receiving a light by 2 men that hung lanterns. And the story gets more interesting. We don't know that it was Mr. Newman, and we don't know that it was Mr. Pullman. But we do know one thing. 700 troops did not find a sleeping village because two men hung some lanterns in the old North Church. Lexington and Concord were saved because they knew that danger was coming. It would not be by the land, but it would be by sea. My message tonight is, who hung the lanterns? First of all, there is the significance of the light. I believe in this day and time, there has never been a greater need for somebody to hang a lantern. No one could keep the light from shining as long as the lantern was hung. The lantern is the key. Now, I know we live in very difficult days. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. But I'm glad tonight, Uncle Sam, that we have the truth tonight. I'm glad tonight that we know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. Now, I share with you these thoughts just for a brief few minutes here tonight. The significance of the lanterns is that there needs to be a light hung. Now, I want to share with you tonight my thinking on this. I ask you tonight, go down memory lane just for a moment. Who was it that hung a lantern for you? And then go beyond that, who hung the lantern for him? We know, and I use the name only as reference. I'm not here up or down. I'm not here for any cause other than to uplift the name of Christ. And so they say that Mordecai Ham brought the message to Billy Graham. We know that a shoe cobbler or somebody had great influence on D.L. Moody. And as a result, this uneducated man lit up Europe with the gospel. Now, I know you and I have been troubled lately, and we have every reason to be troubled. America has never faced the kinds of situations that we're facing now. There has never been a greater need to educate our people and to advocate and to participate as now. Our faith is a treasured heritage, not a contemporary experiment. Somewhere behind Brother Calvin Ray Evans were those that we call lantern hangers. The business of the church is not resting on a large bank account, but it's about getting the light out. Now, I know the Bible said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. But I believe tonight, folks, that you and I are going to have to try to do our best. You see, what did the lantern do? It warned of impending danger. The citizens of Boston, most of them knew nothing about the light. They went to sleep that night. I don't know what they had to eat or whatever, but I know one thing. Whatever they had, when they turned in that night, they knew nothing that a light or two lights were about to be hung. Most people do not plan to fail. They fail to plan. Choosing not to choose is still choosing. An unsaid word still speaks. And I believe tonight, folks, we need some folks that in the midst of a perverse generation will stand up and say, who hath believed our report? You see, we are facing danger like we've never seen before. When the culture of America started to descend and go down. We are the recipients now of what it has brought us. Theodore Roosevelt said to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. I've said this before. May I say it one more time? My mother, who was born in 1899, did not know a subject from a verb, knew nothing about subject-verb agreement, knew nothing about paragraph construction, didn't know what the meaning of a syllabus was, didn't know a predicate, but she knew how to fix cornbread. And she loved us kids. I'm here to tell you today, those of us who take no interest in the kids in the playpen had better get ready to visit them in the state pen. What was it that made folks years ago, like my dad, I don't know where he got all of that thinking, but he had an old-fashioned belief. He thought folks ought to get married and then live together. I mean, it was strange stuff. Now, let me just give you a thought here. Men love darkness today because their deeds are evil. It's our nature to love the darkness. But I'm here to tell you, Brother Cal, I'm glad one day the light shone in. I'm glad for the illumination of the gospel, aren't you? One day we found ourselves alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. One day we found ourselves a depraved generation. But thanks be to Calvary, we got nigh, we got to the proximity of the cross, and there we found redemption. Amen? Oh, listen here. We need some lantern hangers today. And I wonder today who among us may decide that we're going to be a lantern hanger. You see, when we have the mayor of one of the largest cities in Texas telling us that we need to send in our preparatory materials, any notes we might have, any outline we might have on the coming subject of the day, on the sermon for Sunday, I tell you, Houston, we got a problem. But you see, that's not the end of the story. We now face what Phyllis Schlafly calls the tyranny of judges. We've got a situation that has been shoved upon the American people on a law that does not exist. You cannot find this law that says that a marriage is anything but a husband and a wife. You see, I'm of the belief that if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, within a short time, there'd be a shortage of sand. One fella jumped out behind the hedge in Washington, D.C. with a ski mask on, told that fella, said, "Give me your money." He said, "Young man, I'll have you to know I'm a United States congressman." He said, "Okay, give me my money." Now, the church was the highest point in Boston. Brian, that's a message for you. The church was the highest place in Boston. I believe today that the local New Testament, fundamental Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-receiving church ought to be the light in the community. Amen. I'm not looking for an interpretation by those that wouldn't know the New Testament from the Old Testament. You see, truth will stand in the day of judgment. Amen? My job doesn't consist in trying to convince people of what they don't know. My job consists in trying to convince them of what they think they know that ain't so. See, when we go back just for a little bit, something has happened dramatically. There was a place carved out by our founding fathers. Let me give you some quick history on here. Did you know that John Leland, a Baptist preacher, helped James Madison write the First Amendment? Five things in that amendment. Speech, religion, speech, press, petition, and assembly. And I'm telling you here today, folks, if we destroy the role of the family, and we destroy the role of the church, there's nothing left but for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to remind you tonight that He's worthy. No wonder the man there on the Isle of Patmos, incarcerated as it were, exiled, he said, "Behold, I look, and there a rainbow stood about." Judgment is over. There's a dawning of a new day. It wasn't the rainbow on the White House. It's the rainbow showing God's perfection. Amen. Oh, listen here today. The church was a high point. The church has always been a place in America. Are you aware of the fact that Dallas School Corporation, as late as the 1940s, taught both the Old and the New Testament? President Garfield conducted revival meetings and baptized folks. Did you know that Woodrow Wilson said America was born a Christian nation? Dwight Eisenhower said, "We are a Christian nation, and I hope we always remain so." Harry Truman said, "Our laws came from Mount Sinai." I'm here to tell you, but before there was ever a Supreme Court, there was a tribunal in the heavenlies. I'm glad today for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me see what happened here. The light changed the course of history. These two lights, have you ever thought about it? I really hadn't thought about it that much until I was in Boston. And I got to thinking about what would we be speaking today? Where would we be today? Some fellow went over to a conference. Maybe one of our liberal friends. And he went over there and some of those Europeans were protesting. And the French, I think it was, said, "Why do we always have to have these conferences done in English? Why can't we use other languages?" And somebody spoke up and said, "Sir, because you're able to speak today in English kept you from having to speak German." Oh, listen here, we should never apologize for the exceptionalism of America. See, the church should be the high point also tonight. Listen here, we need to keep the light burning. And I wonder from time to time, who will hang the lanterns in this generation? I know that you are doing a wonderful job here, but across the land and country where folks try to destroy old-fashioned meetings, old-fashioned faith. You see, I'm here to declare unto you, I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Bible is God's Word. I believe it's settled forever in heaven. Do you believe that? Let me give you a little illustration. I tell this quite frequently to get the point across. I don't know the name of the county necessarily that we're in here tonight. But let me just say it like this. Let's say I went over to the local English teacher. And I told the local English teacher, "Miss English teacher, with all due respect, Shakespeare has gotten too difficult. When I try to read Shakespeare with my children, when I read Julius Caesar, when I see Brutus, the noble man, being hounded by Cassius. And Cassius looks at Brutus, and he's a pretty perceptive fella. And he said, "Methinketh thou doest protest too much." I said, "Mr. English teacher, why don't we just go to the modern vernacular and say, lighten up, dude." We've taken the Holy Bible. Spurgeon said, charge God with error, if you please. Tell him his book is not what it ought to be. Why? God wrote it. This will be the day that we'll be judged by. Do you believe that? I'm telling you here tonight that it is the living, breathing Word of God tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We're going to have to hang some lanterns. We've got folks that are going around, and I probably shouldn't do this, but I think maybe I will. I'm not very impressed with most of the pundits on television. I mean, they wear away too much makeup, and they think they know what they're talking about. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is no man on this earth that is infallible. There's one tonight seated in the heavenlies. I'm glad tonight that he's so eternal that he doesn't require one contemporary thought. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. You believe that? I'm here to remind you tonight that we'll be judged by this man one day. There's coming a day when Muhammad and all those will bow at his feet. They'll tell him, "You're worthy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." I'm about to get excited. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm telling you here. May I give you another thought here? I won't be very long. Most of the people did not see the light. I wonder why. They weren't looking for it. They had no reason, they thought, to be looking for a light. They didn't go to bed one night or get ready for the evening. And maybe Ebenezer looked at Martha and said, "Well, I think I'll start looking for a light." Most people were unaware. That tells me something spiritually. We're living in a day and time when most folks are in darkness. They know nothing about the love of the Savior. That's why you and I have every opportunity to take the gospel to them. We ought to be encouragers of one another. Somebody said, "Well, does encouragement help?" I said, "Certainly." I said, "It's like bathing. You might not do it every day, but it certainly helps." We need to encourage one another in the faith. Amen. We need to encourage the brethren. We need to uplift them. We need to tell folks, "Look, we need a lantern hanger. How about you being in the service of the King?" Oh, listen here tonight. I believe it was not the fault of the light. You remember when the fellows were in the boat fishing? James and John and all of those were there, a preacher. Kind of a good message. I don't know if I've ever used it or not. But why did those men not catch any fish? Just as a side note, it wasn't the problem with the boat. You couldn't come in and say, "Well, I didn't catch any fish. I'm going to destroy this boat." The problem was the people in the boat. You had a denier in the boat. You had a doubter in the boat. You had a disputer in the boat. You had those that were desirous of positions in the boat. And when it got through, there were no fish. Listen here today, folks. We ought to count every obstacle as an opportunity. You and I don't need to be down and out. We need to be up and about. Amen? This thing's not over. I know one that'll have the last say. Somebody say, "Praise God," right there. Oh, listen here. It's not over yet. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't get into despondency. Lift up your heads. there's a light coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I told Brother Roger Duncan the other day, I said, Roger, I read your book. And I got his illustration. I'm going to use it tonight, Brother Cal. You tell Brother Roger for me, he's my buddy. Brother Roger gives the illustration about the girl looking at her mother with the ridges and things on her hands. And she noticed it and she said, oh honey, she said, I know my hands don't look very good. Said they're kind of ridgy and they just don't look well. But she said, I want you to know something. One day when you were a baby, the house got on fire and I reached into the fire and took you out. Therefore, I've got these scars on my hands. The little girl said, oh, mommy, they look beautiful. I'm glad here to tell you that one day, nail-scarred hands reached down, took us out of the fire. I'm glad to tell you, in him is life, and we can have it more abundantly. Amen? Oh, listen here, I'm glad for the light, aren't you? I'm glad the light showed me the need of a Savior. The light came from the Scriptures. They were reinforced by the Holy Spirit. You see, this stuff today, somebody said, well, they said, doesn't matter. I went in to get a little back to eat and I'm through. Yeah, I think it was last night. And I started to give my opinion on something, which I shouldn't have. And the lady sitting there, she said, oh, Andrew, don't go there. I hadn't seen these folks in years. I'd almost forgotten them. I could see real quickly I was on hostile territory. So I just tried to use all the grace I could. And be honest, I dropped the subject. Because I knew I wasn't going anywhere. Not last night. You see, this idea is this. Most folks today, they've thrown absolutes out the door. They don't want anything that says absolute. They want their preferences. They want their things that they value. They want what they feel might be all right. I believe his brother Cal Ray reminded me today that the abnormal has not only become normal, the normal has become abnormal. Oh, listen here. If we can't say a person is dead until they've had their last breath. If we can't say they're dead until the heart stops beating, why can't we say it's alive when it starts beating? Amen. Somebody said, well, abortion's, if abortion's okay, why do even the supporters say it ought to be rare? If it's okay, what's wrong with it? I mean, if you think having steak pretty frequently is okay for you, you don't say, well, I ought to eat it just every once in a while. You say, I might have two or three or four a week. My thought is this today, folks. Outside of the parameters of this book, you and I will be like a ship tossed at sea. I want to give this to you. Brother Brian, you've got to have it. If the philosophy and the doctrine is not right, it doesn't matter what the details are. I believe I need to say that one again. If the doctrine is not right, it doesn't matter what the details are. You better know the doctrine. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. Let's participate in the service of the Lord. Let's study the Scriptures and let's set the standards high. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And let's advocate for the family. Let's advocate for our faith. I'm not going to sit back. I don't know about you. There are certain laws I'm not obeying. I'm not going to obey them. I'm just not going to. That's my right, isn't it? I'm not obeying them. I'm not officiating at anything that's not normal. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to do it. The song says there's a call comes ringing. Oh, the restless ways. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Now, lastly, let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light. Where's Mr. Pulling? Where's Mr. Newman? We don't know. Mr. Newman owned his two pews. We don't know who hung the lanterns that changed the course of history. You may be here tonight, and you may be thinking, what could I do with my life? I say, let's start hanging a lantern. Let's let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works and turn and glorify the Father which art in heaven.